While preparing for that 4th of July barbecue, consider that a recent article in the New York Times Sunday magazine estimated that it takes about 250 gallons of oil to feed a beef calf up to the right weight for slaughter. Cows don't eat oil, of course, but the corn and other grains they consume require lots of petroleum-based chemical fertilizer to grow. While the precise quantity needed is sharply disputed, the article sparked an intense discussion among restaurateurs in the New York and San Francisco Bay Areas, and it has stimulated demand for cattle that eat only grass, the way they did 30 or 40 years ago. NPR's John McChesney reports.
Dave Evans' four-wheel drive Toyota pickup jolts across a pasture on rolling hills north of San Francisco. The blue Pacific glimmers on the horizon. The grass here is beginning to turn brown, and in front of us stands his herd of sleek black Angus cows, munching off the tops of ryegrass. Evans, at 29, he's young for a farmer, jumps back in after opening a gate.
So these heifers have never been fed any grain. They've been born and raised locally, and grazed locally, and that's where they're at, and they'll go straight to market from here.
When we get out, Evans calls the cows over to us.
Hey, girls.
The cows stand near us, staring and munching. Evans says he was surprised by the sudden demand for his cattle following Pollen's article.
I didn't expect this. This was a 2 to 3 year plan. We expected to sell 5 head this year. And when something comes out in the New York Times, you know you darn well better take advantage of it.
Evans says he will now sell 25 head this year, which of course doesn't even amount to a crumb of hamburger in the vast stream of commercial beef in this country. Pure grass-fed beef is a niche novelty so far, but some trendsetters in the food industry hope to change that. People like Larry Bain, he's the chef at the Acme Chop and Steakhouse in San Francisco, which features grass-fed beef at the top of the menu.
We're taking what was once an elegant relationship between the sun and people, where the sun would feed grass would feed beef, beef would feed people, a solar-powered source of nutrients, and we've turned it into a fossil fuel-based source of nutrients.
Across San Francisco Bay and Berkeley, Alice Waters of the world-famous Chez Panisse restaurant echoes Bain's concerns. She too was influenced by Michael Pollan's piece, which was quickly passed around amongst American chefs.
It really surprised me. I had never really thought about this idea of solar-powered and oil-powered production of beef.
Out in the foothills bordering California's Central Valley, Rick Harrison raises cattle on 6,500 acres of grassland. His cows found a hole in the fence last night, so he's been out rounding them up. That's the reason for the spurs you hear. Harrison is trying his hand at grass-fed beef as part of the Western Ranchers Beef Cooperative.
Corn is what drives this the feedlot industry. We've got quite a bit of corn and can raise a lot of corn. But prior to World War II, grass-fed was the standard for beef.
Harrison and his cooperative have seen demand surge recently, and they're trying to turn the clock back to the time when cheap government-subsidized corn didn't fuel the cattle industry. Ernest Finney manages the co-op that Rancher Harrison is part of.
The family rancher is a really endangered species, particularly in urban states like California. And unless the rancher can be paid the true value of their labor, they're not going to be around very much longer, and they're not going to be people to take care of the land.
Finney believes the grass-fed market can help small ranchers with higher profits. Boosters of grass-fed beef like to bring up Argentina, a country whose beef is nearly all grass-fed and is renowned for its quality. But skeptics here say grass-fed beef will always be a niche product. Chris Calkins teaches animal science at the University of Nebraska.
There might be a small percentage of the population that would like this kind of meat. But historically, others who have tried to approach this with grass-fed beef have been unsuccessful at getting a large enough market to be able to make it cost-effective. Economically, animals do not grow as fast when they're eating grass as when they're eating grain. And so there is an increased cost to produce the meat.
Out in Marin County, rancher Bill Nyman stands in the middle of a pasture as he talks to me. He finishes his cattle with corn. He's a little annoyed with all the grass-fed hoopla. Nyman, whose beef is marketed to restaurants and markets across the country, doesn't use hormones or antibiotics to raise his cattle.
We have a customer base that really demands the grain-fed goodness. You know, and until the surpluses of grain disappear in the United States, we're going to continue to use that to finish our cattle. And we get a, you know, for, we get a great deal when they're ready to eat the grain. There's a great deal of return for it.
Nyman and many other Western ranchers feed cattle on corn for only 4 months at the end of their lives. But back in the Midwest, where corn is plentiful and cheap, cattle are often weaned from their mothers at 6 months and immediately put on an extra rich ration of corn. That's done to hasten the time to slaughter and to force fat into the muscle tissue, creating the marbled steaks that we've learned to love. But this feeding process creates problems, according to Michael Pollan.
Corn is the linchpin of the whole system, because if you don't feed cows corn, you don't need to give them antibiotics. The main reason you have to give them antibiotics is the corn is making them sick.
Pollan says cow stomachs weren't designed for this extra rich diet, and the result can be bloat and liver abscesses. That's what the antibiotics are for, he says. His critics point out that the U.S. Department of Agriculture closely monitors for antibiotic residue in meat. But if you finish cows on corn after months on grass, the way Bill Nyman and many Western ranchers do it, you can do it without antibiotics. The expansion of the grass-fed beef market faces some daunting obstacles. It's seasonal. Its quality is still quite uneven. It's tough if you overcook it. But in the long run, its boosters hope their claims for the environmental and health benefits of grass-fed beef will transform a food fad into a trend. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.